Well, hey, everybody, I'm Tim, and welcome to Cigars Daily Live, coming to you from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, with a kickoff show for the year. We're a little ways into the year so far, but there's still big things we're wrapping up from last year, and that's one thing we're going to talk about tonight, because tonight's topic of the show is the top 25 cigarless takedown.
Yay.
If you watch the channel, you know that on Cigars Daily, we're not always so friendly to top 25 lists. We seem to be a little bit critical of them. And tonight, if you don't know why, you'll learn a little bit more about that. Of course, my name is Tim, and I'm the host of this show, but all of you watching, you're the co-hosts. So drop your cigar comments and questions down below. And to help me run this shindig, behind the camera is Billy the Kid, and no nickname, Terrence.
Yet. I mean, we have a nickname. It's just too long.
Yeah, I got a really long nickname.
Umami Terrence. What is it?
Umami Terrence. The Woody Slayer Dipper of Tips.
Yeah.
So you could do like Terrence UTI.
All right. Yeah, I'm with it.
Anyway, Terrence is on, and these guys are helping me run the show here tonight. So drop your comments and questions. Billy's going to be scouring for them. We really do have quite a bit to cover, but I want to kick this off with a couple of things you guys are saying. So Billy, we'll grab comments. And I've seen a few people commenting up front on the show here saying it's your first live episode. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We're glad to have you. Tonight, we're all jamming on some cigars that weren't at the top of the top 25 lists. Okay. Some of these cigars appeared on various lists, but Terrence, you got one of them. What are you smoking tonight, brother?
So right now I have the West Tampa Tobacco Company Black and Toro, and I love this cigar.
West Tampa Black.
It deserves all this top ratings that it's giving.
And Billy, who is also reading.
I'm reading. I didn't even grab my cigar. You handed me my cigar that I'm smoking tonight. So what am I smoking tonight?
Wow, way to break the fourth wall. There we go. But you're smoking the Attic series, which is what I'm also smoking. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that. There are a lot of brands on top list this year, and some of them great. Maybe some of them maybe not even qualified to be on a list. That's really for you to decide, but that's what we're going to be chatting about tonight. But when I get some comments right now, Billy's picked out a few. Let's kick off the first one right here. This one is from...
This one just popped up, so I'm going to roll with this.
You're going to roll with one that just popped up. Okay, ballsy. Lenny Cash TV. Lenny Cash. Where can I find Terrence on social media? Terrence, do you do social media?
I do social media.
Where can they find you?
On Instagram, I am Tekufu, T-E-K-U-F-U, no offense. It's just the name.
I don't even know how to be offended by that, but I feel like I should know why that should be offensive.
It's just the internet, so, or whenever I tell people. And then on Twitter, I am Tekufu's Revenge, T-E-K-U-F-U-S, Revenge, because good old... Jack, back when he owned Twitter, suspended my account seven times.
And you came back and got him, and now I'm
showing him that me and Elon. No, I'm joking.
All right, good. So there's a couple places to find Terrence, and Terrence and I have actually had some really good conversations about social media and stuff. You might even see some more good platform forming around Terrence and stuff like that coming up in the next weeks and months. All right, keep getting some comments here, Billy. Give me another good one, man. This one is from Slevi Sapalovic. There we go. Pretty good.
Pavlovich.
I've been brushing up on my Eastern European countries and the dialect.
Just in case.
Just in case. just in case. Thank you, Billy. Here is a question I hope someone can answer for me. Why do mild cigars make me sick? And I'm 100% fine with full body cigars. I'm relatively new cigar smoker. Thank you. I've been doing cigars for a while. I've been smoking cigars for 20 years. I've been in the cigar industry for about 8 of those 20 years, and I have never heard of that before. But I do know this. I do know that when it comes to premium cigars, there is some variety to the leaf that goes in it. Everything that goes into a premium cigar is basically the same ingredient. It's black air-cured leaf. Okay, that's what we make premium cigars out of. But the way that those leaves are grown, whether they're shade-grown or sun-grown or what the leaf is or where the tobacco comes from, there are some things in certain leaves that bother certain people. So some cigars will bother certain people and other cigars won't. That's something that I've heard. And so it's potential there's an allergy thing there, but I've never heard anyone be like, yeah, milder cigars make me sick, but the Maduros, those hit just fine. That seems very unique, but I have no doubt you'd find somebody else in the community in Cigars Daily Nation who shares that experience with you. I'm not sure what exactly would cause that up front.
I think maybe it could be like sickness from over puffing.
Or too much puffing.
So he might. So it's a less body cigar. So they might not be getting as much flavor out of it. So they might puff more.
If you, you know, that would be a thing to watch. If you're that, you puff two or three times as much because it's a Connecticut cigar and you're just kind of searching for that flavor. Okay, let's get another comment here. This one, Billy, is coming from.
Well, this is an interesting one.
Ooh, I like interesting. Okay. Tori D. Harper says, "Hello, my name is Tori Harper."
Troy.
Troy, thank you. I appreciate it. All right. My name is Troy Harper. I guess it's good that he wrote his name. I was going to start making fun of him, but now I said it twice wrong. I'm a grocery store manager and I carry premium cigars. How can I carry your cigars in my store? I've called and have left a message at your business, but no callbacks. It'd be the American Viking phone. So yeah, you can send an email to hello@cigarsdaily.com. We can have a conversation there. Okay, let's keep cruising. I've got a lot of stuff to do in this episode, guys. Keep dropping your cigar comments and questions down below. Billy's going to be getting them, especially if it's your first time on this episode.
There's a bunch of first time.
There's a bunch of first time
people. Welcome, everybody. Yeah,
good, man. Welcome. All right. Well, let's keep jamming. There's a few things I want to go through at the outset of the show here. As we talk about the top 25 lists, a couple other bigger things going on in the cigar world. So the first thing I want to catch you guys up on is a Cigar World headline. All right. So there's only one this week, but this one is kind of critical. It's something to pay attention to. You can read more about this on Half Wheel, but I'll show you the headline right here and just kind of talk you guys through this. This is like, perk up your ears, pay attention to what's going on. Senators reintroducing bill to exempt premium cigars from FDA regulation. Okay, so this has been such a complicated topic for cigar people ever since 2016, since the FDA announced it was going to be doomsday for the cigar industry. And we've seen a lot of legislative wins, but now there's this huge push from senators, namely Marco Rubio from Florida. He's introduced this bill. It's the third time he's put the bill out. And of course, the other two times it's been shot down because who's going to look out for the small cigar industry? But the way that Half Wheel talks about it, and what I really like, is that introducing a bill like this one gives the cigar industry the chance to get in front of policymakers, get in front of legislators, and show them the unique nature of premium cigars. Really, all the stuff that we all fell in love with about premium cigars. They're handmade. They're made out of like all leaf. Like they're totally different than every other segment of this like tobacco world. And so this gives us a chance to put that out in front of people and say, yo, with premium cigars, there is no big tobacco. It's a lot of family owned companies out there. And so this is educational for our policymakers, which if you feel like we could educate our policymakers, I suppose this would be like the best way to go about it. If you have questions or comments about that, drop it down below, but read up on that. These are really, really good things to follow. I find that in the cigar world, it's typically two or three times a year, a piece of legislation comes out that they're going to vote on that's going to impact the cigar industry, either in a nominally positive way or in a catastrophically negative way. Like they're like, no, we're going to make all cigar. Like you have to print the graphic warning label on the actual leaf or some insane thing they want us to do just to continue to exist. But every once in a while, something comes along like this. And again, you can find the legislative news on Half Wheel and a lot on Cigar Aficionado. There have been tons of colossal legislative wins for premium cigars. Like right now, at this moment, if the FDA just had their way with us, and they tried to, we would have massive 30% warning labels on the exterior of our boxes. No new cigars would be being released at all. There would be no new cigars, which really is what drives a lot of the top 25 lists and a lot of the new stuff that we enjoy, like West Tampa cigars. And by the way, tonight, you guys can find out some incredible extra value, extra details about West Tampa. Take a look at the lineup slide here. It's West Tampa. There is a super duper secret code. Is it in there?
I don't think I see a lineup slide, actually.
You don't see a lineup slide. I don't see a lineup slide either. That is so disturbing. Let me see if I can add one right now on the fly. Ruh-roh.
Do you want me to take... I've got a good comment that I can answer.
Oh, you got a good comment. You can answer.
Is this about your roots already?
No.
Okay, answer your comment.
All right. This one is from Alex T. And Alex T was talking about he's training for a marathon right now, and he can only have one Robusto a week. But the question I pulled is, what would you smoke at the end of a marathon race? Cheroots. But
low-key cheroots.
My question to him is, why are you only smoking one? As someone that runs daily,
yeah,
I have cigars don't affect me in any way with my running and my lung capacity because you're not inhaling.
You shouldn't be inhaling them, right?
Yeah. So,
well, I understand a guy who wants to be a little bit like concerned or paying attention to what he's doing and how that's impacting him, especially if you're competing. Totally get that. I ran 4 miles this morning and have smoked 2 cigars today. I smoke 3 to 5 cigars a day. So again, without inhaling, I think that there's that like the impact on your stamina, on your performance may look a little different. But if you're smoking one Robusto a day and you want the perfect one for when you are done with the marathon, don't, for the love of God, smoke cheroots. Like that's the first thing.
See, I'm thinking because you're going to be tired after your marathon and you don't want a big stick that's going to take a while and you're probably going to drop it at some point.
But so he just needs a Robusto.
He just needs a Robusto. Dude, I'd be going with something top end, something that's not ultra powerful. Like, I don't know, something that at the end of a race, you're like, you need to refuel, you need to put food in your body. So I probably wouldn't be smoking like a dark broadleaf or a Maduro or something really, really powerful, but I'd probably go with something like a Padron 1926, a special occasion celebratory cigar, okay. Something that's really, really good. And by the way, all over the top 25 lists. And so before we dive into that, I will tell you guys about the lineup for tonight's episode. Terrence, do you see it there now?
Yes, I do.
Sorry okay. About that. Sorry so about West that. Tampa cigars, we picked this out because they weren't all over the top 25 list, which to me seems like a gigantic shame because Rick Rodriguez, this handsome devil over here in the picture, he has been blending cigars that have been on top 25 lists, amazing 95, 96 rated blends and Cigar Aficionado. He's been doing that for a long time. And ever since he branched out and launched West Tampa, I have been exceedingly impressed with the quality of his cigars. He's only got 3 blends. He's got the White Series, the Black Series, and the Attic Series now. All 3 killer sticks, although I got to say, the Attic Series to me is like the one that's like, yeah, that is a top 25 level powerhouse. I probably smoked 2 or 3 boxes of these.
Also, the Attic Series passes the dump test.
It does pass the dump test. Yeah, you can put it down, go do your business, come back, and it'll still be ready to burn depending on how much social media you do on the toilet. Once again, it's all relative. All right. I want to keep cruising. We've got some more stuff to cover, but Billy, go ahead and grab us another comment, everybody. This one is coming from S. Palmer. Thanks for the super chat. He says, Tim, dang it. You smoked all the Room 101 13th anniversary cigars. Yeah. So I did smoke. Okay. Thank you, Billy. I didn't. So this time I didn't do that. I literally took mine out of stock. No, not
other
this time.
Other times he has.
Okay, listen, I'm not super proud of this because it's highly unprofessional, but if you watch the channel, you don't expect me to be highly professional, so that's good. I when we first got Room 101 13th anniversary in, I fell in love with it so much that I actually smoked a whole box of them. And then at the shop somewhere, there was a box stock error, and which we were able to fill. And then on my third order of the Room 101, they've told me that it's out of stock. I can no longer order it from the manufacturer. Now, currently, here's my strategy, just so you guys know. I'm trying to get a hold of more of this. I know there are cigar shops all around America that have it. So I called my Room 101 rep, Forged Cigar Brand is who they're called now. And I just told them very simply that if I don't get more Room 101, I'm quitting cigar industry altogether. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go back to doing massages on a cruise ship like I did before, you know, and just bite the bullet because I love that cigar so much. It's one of the things that infuriates me about limited edition cigars when they come out and they're so damn good that you can't even handle it. And you just love it and love it. And you smoke too many and then they're gone. And then it's like when you finished watching the first Lord of the Rings, you walk out of the theater and you're like, now what do I do with my life? Like that, it's over. It's basically over now. So that's very annoying. And that's what we see in a lot of top 25 lists too. We're going to get to those in a minute because we got to take these things down a peg or two. And we're going to actually look at what popped up on them and talk about that together as well. But I want to get some more comments because there's a lot of really good ones. I see them all jamming through here. Billy, what do we got, bro? This one is from, I got to click my screen. Megan Allen. Hi, my husband is a huge cigar fan. He has been a huge fan of yours for a long time. What do you recommend for a nice / fancy cigar? Megan, this sounds like a girl wrote it. And I should get him for an anniversary in February. This is a good question. It's a good comment here. Okay.
And also solid wife.
Solid white.
Yeah, no, great.
She
woman.
Goes on the live show to ask a question to get the recommendation, which I think is really great.
She
didn't
leave it on a other YouTube video. She came to the live. Thank you, Megan.
Anniversary in February. I wish I knew what anniversary that was. And without knowing exactly what he likes, like, again, there's some special occasion cigars out there. And the top 25 lists do have a few things on them that where I think they pegged it. Like, I was looking at Half Wheel's consensus list. It's their compilation of all the amazing cigars from all the lists out there. And of course, everybody rips Half Wheel a new one because they consider too many lists. Like, if your dog starts a cigar blog online and creates a top 25 list, Half Wheel would probably consider it for the consensus. Like, as long as it's published online. I don't even think it has to be a human publishing it. Besides the point, though, there are a few cigars on there that are like high-end special occasion cigars that really I was impressed with. And one of them is 1502's 10th anniversary.
Yes, sir.
Outstandingly yes, good sir. Cigar. Comes in a Toro size. Like, I haven't talked about that cigar a ton, but it just absolutely rocks. And similar, the 1502 XO uses 18-year aged tobacco in it. And I think the world of 1502, especially because whenever Enrique and I talk about orders, I'm usually shouting. And so if I'm saying good things about his cigars, it's because I legitimately respect him and love the guy, by the way, a ton as well.
Also, the Blue Sapphire, a great stick, slow burner. So if he has some time to himself,
yeah,
sit there. And
Blue Sapphire is just out of this world. I mean, the only cigar where you ever hear people report like a flavor note that's reminiscent of blueberries.
I can attest to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Without being infused. Right. Like that is, I mean, key to the
flavor. Do you have those?
Yes. You're wanting one now. Huh?
I'm wanting one now. Now see, I'm curious.
Now Billy wants one.
I can also recommend for an anniversary, maybe something like a Placentia, Alma Fuerte, or, even a Concecho 149. I know that's not really like a special occasion kind of thing, but it just absolutely rocks. And then also maybe just a Padron.
Well, yeah.
You can't go wrong with the Padron for a fancy celebratory stick.
And for your anniversary, I mean, there's about a billion and one cigars out there that say Anniversario on the band. Padron's 1926, Padron's 1964. The 1502 Anniversario 10 is another one. The Undercrown Anniversario 10 is another one. The Liga Privada 10th anniversary. There's another one. I mean, there's a lot of them with anniversary in the title, and even some that are not on like the ultra high end of it. Like Perdomo has the 10th anniversary in a like mild Connecticut, a medium sun grown and a powerful Maduro, as well as a 20th anniversary with the same blend. So you've got a lot of options out there. If you're playing toward the anniversary angle and you want to like get something anniversary ish to try to entice him into your grasp, an anniversary cigar might just do it. I'm pretty sure it's probably not very hard for you to do that. You could probably get any cigar and he'd be like, all right, I'm taking my pants off. It's fine. Okay. All right. Let's keep cruising. Give me another comment here. This one is from Shane Dyerson. Has anyone else had issues relating to the Cigars Daily Plus site? I never get the confirmation email. Anyone else have that issue? Why did you pick this comment?
Because it's a comment that comes up.
Now I got to troubleshoot in the middle. Yeah. how do I frame this up for you guys? I have hired a new developer. And so we are working on getting these exact issues fixed. And I guess I'll level with you. What are we 20 minutes into the show? I'll just level with you guys. You know, Cigars Daily Plus was something that we built because we wanted to make sure there was always that we could always accomplish our goal. And our goal is to give you guys the best damn cigar content online for free. Okay. That is the whole purpose. And when social media starts to get, you know, crackdowny, we built Cigars Daily Plus as a way to host our own videos on our own server so that even if YouTube like doesn't like us anymore for some reason, we've got a place where our content is. So it's literally a website with the same content that's on our YouTube channel, a couple of little perks in there. And like, we're trying to fine tune the thing to get it running right. But even still, like when we first launched it, people were asking for all this like functionality on Cigars Daily Plus. Like, can we have social media, like a news feed on there and post pictures and like them and comment? And like, I was looking at doing that. And I had to have a really hard conversation where I was like, you know, Jim and I talked about it. It was like, it doesn't feel like we want to become a social media company. Like, we want to be cigar content creators. That's who we are. That's what we do. So we want to do what we can to facilitate that. But also, like, your experience should be reliably good. So yeah, we're going to continue working to get all of those things cleared up and make sure that you can get in, get on, and see the best damn cigar content online for free. And even without an account, you should be able to watch the videos. That shouldn't be a problem. But commenting on the live show, I'm sure it's something you want to do, because that's where we're going to go in a little bit for the after party. That's where we end the show on YouTube and Facebook. It will continue on Cigars Daily Plus. And there's less rules there because the internet overlords aren't watching us and determining our future with an algorithm. Okay.
Also, if you can't log in to log in, don't forget the podcast. It's on wherever you can get podcasts.
Thank you,
and you can listen to it anywhere you need to. I also had issues getting into Plus the first time I logged in, but I got the email the next morning. So it might take a little bit of time.
Yeah. Dustin was telling me that this week. We were talking about Cigars Daily Plus because we wanted to whine about it together because it was annoying. And he's like, usually people get that email by the next day. But literally, my new developers are hot shots. They're awesome. They do a good job. And as an added benefit, they do what we pay them to do.
Whoa.
Which that's, I cannot say about developers of the past. So this is like, wow, that's great. Like, they sent the invoice and I was like, they did everything on this invoice. This is amazing. All right. It's simple things that give me the most joy. Give me one more comment and then we got to keep cruising with the episode. We're going to knock down some of these top 25 lists. We got a good comment craze tonight. Joe Macko says, what brands other than Cohibas are most faked? Currently have a Monte Cristo Platinum with a sloppy band glue and bands are not straight. Ooh. Okay. Let's dive into this. So, one of my favorite like little facts that I like to rattle off is that the faux industry, the counterfeit industry worldwide, is a $400 billion a year industry. That's your fake Cohibas. That's your fake Prada purses. That's your fake Maseratis. Does anyone fake Maseratis?
Fake Gucci belt. We can
say your that. Fake Gucci belts. Yeah. It's most of the clothes that Billy wears. And, I would say, you know, when it comes to brands that get faked, it's not Cohiba that's the brand that gets faked the most, although it very well may be. It's all Cuban brands. Any Cuban cigars get faked, and they get faked for this reason, okay? In America, we smoke twice as many cigars as the rest of the world combined. So that means 2/3 of worldwide cigar smoking happens in the United States. At the same time, we can't get Cubans here. They're illegal. So people are always after them because they're illegal. And so they fake them as a way to create access for the American consumer who stupidly buys them. And they've got all kinds of ways about getting around your how to tell if a Cuban is fake. There are a lot of people with massive collections of Cubans that are like mostly fake. And that's one of the really big dangers about it. The Monte Cristo Platinum is, I don't believe there is a Cuban Monte Cristo Platinum. The only one I'm aware of is the one made by Monte Cristo, which is owned by Altadis, which is a company that distributes that in America. And the Monte Cristo Platinum is not a Cuban cigar. When you get a cigar, though, that has like the band is all glued to the paper and it's like not straight or something like that, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's fake. It means that your packaging person like had a fight with their wife or husband the night before, or like the kids like crapped in the car or something like that. Like something really bad happened. They're distracted. I literally from the same company once got an entire box of cigars where all the bands were on upside down. And what's interesting is they've got typically in the box a little tiny shred of paper at the bottom that says like number 27 or something like that. They can use that to determine like where it went through the factory and who did the work on rolling and packaging those cigars so that there is some level of accountability. If I were to call Altadis and be like, yo, I got a whole box of Monte Cristo Platinums and all the bands were lopsided and they were glued onto the cigar and something like that, they would immediately ask me for that little piece of paper in the bottom there so they can straighten that out. So I wouldn't say that you got to worry about your Monte Cristo Platinums being fake. I would say that there's a pretty damn low chance that you're going to find cigar brands that are freely distributed in America that are also being faked. What they're really going out of their way to counterfeit is the stuff that we can't get here, because the stuff we can legally sell here, there's typically plenty of it. And the stuff that's hard to find, it's really not worth creating the fakes of it. You might find them pop up in a cigar shop or two around the country, but they should be pretty easy to tell. So I hope that helps you out a little bit. And I hope you can enjoy that Monte Cristo a little bit more knowing that.
I actually just picked up a box of Monte Cristo not too long ago.
It was a platinum as well, wasn't it?
It was the box of platinums, yeah. And my bands are also sloppy on it. But I believe maybe since it's not like one of their flagship cigars, it's just one of their mainstays, that they don't have as great QC for it that they would like an anniversary or something.
Here's the thing. The quality control in these cigar factories, it's typically all the same room. Okay. So everything made in that factory, whether it's all Monte Cristo or Monte Cristo and Romeo and Julieta or 20 different brands being rolled there, it all goes through the rolling room and then ends up in typically the same quality control room where they check it out. Now, packaging, I don't know how they do quality control after packaging, but I do know that you see lots of rooms filled with cigars pre-packaged. But I'll say this, it is weird to see a Monte Cristo that's not packaged well, because Monte Cristo, it's like they're Mercedes-Benz brand. I mean, it's a luxury brand for them. So you would, if you walked onto the car lot and saw a Mercedes-Benz and the logo on the hood was like crooked on the thing, you'd be like, what the hell is that? Like, why is that messed up like that? And I think that it's a logical question to ask and be concerned about. I didn't know that those were all crooked on your cigars, Terrence.
They weren't necessarily crooked, but there was definitely some sloppy glue work on there.
You know, that's the thing about a cigar band. They literally supposed to put a little bit of paste on the cigar band. I think it's the same glue they use to actually adhere the cap at the top of the cigar. But if you use too much and then you push the band down and it kind of seeps out the side, you know how when you're like, you're making a crappy birdhouse for your kid because they had an assignment due and they didn't do it, and you feel bad because you didn't really help them and you're supposed to because you're a parent. And so you help them, but you're not good at it because your parents never taught you how to build anything. And so then you build the thing and it looks like garbage and the glue's sticking out everywhere. It's kind of like that. Okay.
A little hyper specific, but
I'm not trying to speak from anyone's specific experience here. I'm just giving an example.
You know what cigar is faked a lot?
What?
And Mr. B-Hop 33 is onto it.
Oh, what do you say?
Don't fake the cheroot.
Don't fake cheroots. Hey, yeah. Don't there worry. Nobody is trying to do that right now. No, nobody's trying to figure that out. How do we fake the cheapest, crappiest cigars, air quotes, cigars ever made?
Ooh.
I know, Billy. I'm going for the throat this time.
You're making fun of how I dress. And you know what? There are people in the chat that are thinking I'm looking good tonight. I'm just saying.
And this show is fixing to be Hootenanny and a half. Billy looks really sexy tonight from Dustin.
Thank you, Dustin.
Let's good put job. Billy Thank back you, up Dustin. On the camera. Smile Look at the that. Camera. Yeah. Look at that guy. He looks really good. He looks like he just lost some weight from being moderately ill for about a week.
Moderately ill. What's your secret to dieting? Get sick.
Getting sick.
It works wonders.
As soon as I get rid of a virus, I try to find myself a nice bacteria. All right. Give me another comment, and then we've got a ton to do. I'm actually just blowing through time here at the beginning of the show, but everybody's comments are really good. All right. Let's get this hootenanny rolling. Next comment right here is coming from.
I actually had the same question, so here you go. Oh,
good. Fur, you were a massage therapist? That's me, 22 years in. Never on a ship, though. No, I was a pastor.
I was trying to rack my brain of when you were
think of when I was a massage therapist.
You said it not in your joking voice. And I'm like,
you were trying to do the whole timeline in your head.
I was like trying to match it. I'm like, when did you do that?
You never noticed that I was like suddenly tan when we'd play poker together, like very tan and rubbing your shoulders. I can't believe you would forget that. I must have not been very good. No, I was never a massage therapist on a cruise ship. My own joke is blowing up in my face. All right, I want to move on to a segment we do every week here on the show to honor the members of our nation and sometimes cause them to leave the nation and never talk to us again. A segment called the Cigars Daily Nation Pick of the Week. Now, we were just talking about the most faked cigars of all time, so I'm really glad I picked this pick of the week. Also, hoping not to lose a subscriber with this one, but let's roll the dice and see what happens. This picture comes from Don S. And he says, my sister just got back from a cruise.
Maybe the one Tim was on.
I did give her a massage and brought gifts. Anyone tried any of these? All new to me. And of course, my scope is admittedly small. That is a little bit redundant because, okay, I want to bring you guys in on this. I'm so glad
speaking
that we have
of fakes.
Speaking of fakes, I'm so glad that everyone's on. I hope Don S is watching, and also equally hope he's not watching. Want to tell you guys something. At no point in the history of this world has Habanos SA, the company that distributes all Cuban cigars, at no point have they ever released a box of five cigars with a glass top on it, ever. Okay, so there is no Cuban cigar that comes in a five-count box with a glass top.
All different bands as well.
And on five different cigars. This is not real. Okay, that's how I want to say it. And anything, my sister just got back from a cruise. That's your second probably thing. Like, here's one of the things about faked Cubans. Cubans are faked more in Cuba than just about anywhere. If you want to get the real deal Holyfield when it comes to Cubans, there's a couple ways to do that. You go to Cuba and you go to the government owned and operated cigar factory that says Partagas factory or Cohiba factory or, you know, Romeo y Juliet or whatever it says on the factory. You go into the factory and get the cigars there. Those you're pretty sure will be real. The other way to get them is in most cigar shops in the world outside of the United States, especially in Europe, lots of different parts of Asia. There's massive distribution for Cuban cigars. Unfortunately, there isn't any substantial distribution for Cubans really through Latin America, like especially in Mexico. There's supposedly one place south of the border that you can get real Cubans, but I've never even seen it with my own two eyes. They say there's a Habanos SA store in Cabo San Lucas. I've been there, but it was way too early in my time of cigar shmee to remember if that's like legit. Like you see them in duty-free shops in the airport. These are a lot of the places where you'll find a legitimate Cuban. But once again, once you get it, you'll find yourself asking the same question so many cigar smokers ask. And that is like, what is it about this that's drawing so much attention? Why is this supposedly better than the Nicaraguan or Honduran stuff that I've been like absolutely drooling over for the past months or years? So there you go. Pick of the week, Don S. Thanks for joining us. And I do want to say this, those fake Cuban boxes, I like, as I knock them, I also love them. One of my favorite things to do when I go to Mexico is haggle over these boxes of cigars, because here's what they're going to do. They're going to start you off at like $75 for these five cigars, most likely made in Mexico with, you know, ragweed tobacco, just total rags and are garbage. But for like a $2 or $3 cigar, they're not the end of the world, especially if you don't have anything. And so I like going to Mexico. I like visiting the little shops and I just like to haggle. I like it so much. If I can get five of these cigars for around 12 or 15 bucks, I will buy them. And then I will smoke them very happily, knowing that I did what I consider to be semi-okay. Anyway. All right, Billy, I want the next comment right here.
We have one of the best jokes that have been played in the comments ever before. So this, it's not great comments, but it's one of the best jokes that I've ever seen.
Okay.
So there's a two-parter here.
Okay, a two-parter. Let's get the first one. Brad Pavelko, my 11-month-old stops what she is doing and spins around to see when the Cigars Daily video starts and when Tim starts speaking. She watches the whole time. I don't know what it is.
Wait for it.
Okay. It's Tim the real father. Is Tim the real father from Texas Taurus?
That was one of the best well-played jokes, Texas Taurus, excellent, that I've seen in the comments.
Right. Good now, job. His daughter's sitting in the room like, Dad?
Dad?
What are they saying about us, Dad? Oh, no. I'm so glad he didn't put her name on there. Good God. Sorry, honey. I'm sorry we haven't met before, but I love you from afar.
When are you going to go pick up your daughter, Tim? Gosh, stop doing live videos.
You know, the cigar fame really pushed my head. I have a number of children all around the country. I'm like that guy. Who's the guy who had all those kids?
Nick Cannon has.
Thank you, Nick Cannon.
Kids.
I'm glad that you knew immediately who I was talking about.
I was like, are you talking about that one doctor who did that illegal thing?
Oh, that guy too.
That guy too. Oh, yeah, dude. He had all these babies. All right, that's beside the point. That's not cigar talk. Next comment.
We're back to humidor questions.
Oh, good. Back to humidor. Oh, we have to do a whole episode on humidor. Brian Segura says, I got a glass top humidor as a Christmas gift recently. Just started getting into cigars, and I know the glass tops aren't the best, and I want to keep it, of course. What should I do to keep it good? Okay, so you just got a humidor for Christmas, and I'm going to speak to a broad range of people here. Let's say you got a humidor for Christmas, and let's say that in the scenario, it's got a glass top like this. The first thing you can do, just try to season it and use it. You know, I slam wooden humidors a lot because they're made out of particle board. They're all made in China. It's like, the good news is it keeps the cost of them down. They're not $400 or $500 for the amount of wood that you're getting, right? It's instead, it's going to be like under $100. So they make a great gift to give. And a lot of the time they'll work fine. They'll like, you can season them and just use them, and you may discover that you have no issues, especially depending on the relative humidity in the air around you. And remind me, somebody needs to ask me on the after party what relative humidity is, because we have to talk about that. Relative humidity, it's not what everybody thinks it is. Okay. But when it comes to your glass top humidor, the first thing I would do is just season it regular and use it. Like, you can get the Bovita 84% seasoning packs and use those. You can go a little old school and use distilled water and a sponge. I still think that's a great way to go. And see, it may just hold. I've had wooden desktop humidors that have just held. If not, I've got a couple videos here on the channel you can watch where I get really sketchy about the seam with the glass and the wood. So like, what I've done is taken one of those humidors and used like a clear silicone to just do a bead around the interior, the inside of the lid where the glass meets the wood. And just, you want to shore up anywhere where there's those, you know, connections of wood, and like, make sure that humidity is not escaping. If you're not holding humidity, it's most likely that your humidity is escaping somewhere. You don't have a good seal. And so you shore up that seal and you'll notice that it gets easier and easier to do. It's something that comes with all humidors. You got to rattle around with them and get them working just how you want for you, whether it's a wooden desktop humidor or even like one of the refrigerated thermoelectric cooler door things. They require a little bit of love to get them how you want them. So keep working with it, man. Okay, I got time for one more, and then we need to jump into the comment kreis. And we need to get to the top 25 stuff, because these lists, man, we got to take them down a peg. Texas Patriot says, let's get into bashing top 25 lists. Okay, well, there we go. Billy forced my hand. Texas Patriot forced my hand. Top 25 lists. Those sons of bitches.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, when I first got into cigars, I was all about the top 25s. I loved it. When the list came out, I was all excited about it. Even when I first got into the cigar industry, every year it was like, oh, these top 25 lists are going to determine like what's hot and what's popular and what people are really after. And for a few years, that was true.
And we were talking about this before the show started of like, back in the day, we weren't into cigars as we are now.
Right.
And we followed what those top 25s were.
Yeah. Especially if we could get them like, you know, 30 cigars for $60, and we would go in together, because once again, I was a massage therapist on a cruise ship. Were you doing insurance back then? No, you weren't.
No,
you were working at a pizza joint.
I was working at a pizza joint,
and I was doing music ministry in college.
Yeah.
We were not going to be buying the number one cigar of the year on anybody's list. Neither of us. Okay. But this is what happens every year. These lists comes out, and now everybody and their mom comes out with a top 25 list. And so I do a video every year slamming all of these lists, being like, oh, that's just terrible. But here's what you got to know. Tonight on the show, we're going to take a look at some of the number one cigars of the year and talk about them. But there's a few different types of lists out there if you've never seen one of my slam videos. And I do think there is some benefit to these lists, but ultimately that's like totally up to you to decide. Like, how important are these lists to use? Some people shop off them religiously. They want to get every cigar on the list every year. Some people use them as like kind of a general recommendation list of like, what have I not heard of? What should I try? And some people avidly ignore them. They feel like they get way too overhyped online, and every cigar they get off someone's top list is not as good as it should be. So it's very subjective how you're going to look at this, but there's a few different types of lists. The big publications, for the most part, are panel-driven lists. A panel of hoity-toity cigar smoky people are like, sit down, they have a monocle, they have a bald cat in their lap, and they smoke the cigars and they determine what goes on the list. And everybody thinks that that is determined purely by marketing spending dollars by cigar manufacturers, which may hold some water or it may not. I don't know. Then there's this whole category of just individualistic cigar lists. Like, a guy who has a blog puts out a list. I do not put out a list every year, but most of these guys will. They're top 10, they're top 25, whatever. And those lists can be good if you have a strikingly similar palate to the person who puts out the list. Maybe they like bold stuff and you like bold stuff. That list would be something to pay attention to. The third type of list is a crowdsourced list, where somebody with a following asks all of their people, what are the cigars that you really like and love? And they produce a list of what those people do. We're going to take a look at the number one cigar from all three of these types of lists tonight. And I want to kick off the first one. We'll go past the comment craze there, Terrence.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're actually going to, I'm going to skip Cigar Aficionado. We're not even going to do there. So if you guys don't know, Cigar Aficionado's number one cigar of the year this year was a Cuban.
Age Upman number two.
Nobody cares. Like the whole cigar industry saw that and we were all like, oh, okay. And every year Cigar Aficionado's got, you know, two Cubans, an Oliva, a Padron, an Espinosa, an Alec Bradley or two, and like a few other things. Like you can kind of predict what's sort of going to be, what's going to appear on the list. These are some of the other ones. Let's start with the big publications, kicking it off with Cigar Snob. Okay. And I was surprised to see this. And again, if you're going to pay attention to a top 25 cigar list, the first thing you got to ask yourself is, how did they put this thing together? Some of them have criteria that say, oh, our top 25 list is only made out of the cigars that were released this year. Mm-hmm. Some of them take all cigars into account. Some of them say like a cigar has to, you know, reach certain markers in order for us to consider it. But I was impressed with Cigar Snob to see Foundation Cigars Olmec Toro as their number one cigar. Now, the Olmec was interesting to me. This is one that has been an ultra high demand, ultra low supply. I mean, there's a regular production cigar, but feels limited edition when it first came out. I have some in the humidor here, but like this cigar absolutely rocked this year. Nick Melillo has just made some amazing blends like the Tabernacle and Highclere Castle. And we'll see El Senatare, his newest, most limited cigar coming up in a minute. But yeah, Cigar Snob, they're a publication. And again, you can read on Cigar Snob about how they put their list together. But here you've got a brand new boutique cigar topping the top of their list, which is very different than Cigar Journal. We'll bring that up in a sec, Billy.
Wasn't Olmec the name of the temple god in Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yes, sir, it was.
It was.
Yes,
sir. All right. Yeah. Dude, the thing about Foundation cigars is that like if you don't bring a history thesaurus or encyclopedia to a conversation with Nick Melillo about where the cigar came from, you're already going to be behind because everything he makes is so steeped in history. And I'm sure it's connected in some way to that movie.
Yeah. Okay. So all of his different cigars and blends are crazy. Like the Senatare is like something based on King Tut's tomb.
It's the 100-year anniversary of the of King Tut's tomb, and that's why I put it in the Highclere Castle collection. Yep. We could do a whole video on that, but I want to keep cruising here. And if you've got top 25 comments, Billy, throw them up and just interrupt us, and the conversation will include those because I want them. All right, so then another publication is Cigar Journal. Take a look at this right here. Their number one cigar, a little bit more familiar, I think, to the regular cigar smoking world. If you don't know a lot about the boutique brands like Foundation, then first thing I would say is, what's wrong with you? There's some really good cigars coming out of those.
There's great cigars coming from Foundation.
But the number one cigar for Cigar Journal this year was Padron's Family Reserve number 95 Natural. And again, Padron is this is very, very different than Cigar Snob, a heritage company that's been around forever and is so widely respected in the cigar world. Like you don't like, there's a lot of brands that you'll run into a guy who's like, oh yeah, like I got some bad draws and so I'll never smoke it again. And like that happens for sure. But Padron is a brand that you see pretty much unanimously respected in the cigar world, with the exception of maybe a few people that think it's overhyped. But Padron speaks for themselves. It's a brand that's retained its quality and character for decades. Absolutely outstanding. This is one cigar that I would say, like, yeah, it's top 25 for sure. And like that, I think that the thing that's an issue with Padron with a lot of people is that it's always on the top 25 list. Like, and I think there is a sense where some people clamor for, give us something new. Give us something that we haven't had yet before. I don't know. Put your opinions about all this stuff down in the comments. Do you use top 25 lists? Do you pay attention to any of these? Do you think these cigars that we're looking at hit the mark, or did they miss the mark for your palate? I would love to know more about that.
I have one comment to say about this Padron, just because it is a family reserve. It's not just a regular, you know, 1964 or anything like that. It's a little bit more higher class than just what you'd regularly see at a cigar shop.
Absolutely.
So I will give them that over the publication that I need to apologize
for. It's a I love it. All right. And then I pulled in Half Wheel's number one cigar of the year too, just because I had never smoked it before. So here's the number one cigar for Half Wheel.
I don't think a lot of people have even heard of this one before
either. Yeah. So let me just break this down. It's called the Alfonso Extra Añejo number 3. So United Cigars used to distribute Atabey cigars. And in the last year, I think they've created a separate company that distributes Atabey now. And that's Atabey and Byron, and now also this Alfonso brand. So no doubt going to be a top shelf, top tier cigar, and probably a booth that I will be visiting at the trade show this year when I go to PCA to catch up with these guys, because Atabeys are great cigars. Don't have them in my humidor right now, but they're outstanding. I'm sure this Alfonso looks, I mean, just the picture of it is...
It's gorgeous. Also, sexy. I think it's aged in like wine casks or something like that, like French wood. Like it's so over the top. Yeah,
talk about it dirty.
Yeah. Oh man, I got lemon wood and cedar. I'm sorry. I'm just reading the review for it.
Okay. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, Terrence. I'm sorry, but I need to move on to the next type of list.
Yes, sir.
So I mentioned the publications. The next big thing you're going to see is these lists that come out from an individual.
Yeah.
Some guy somewhere. Okay. And again, this is a benefit to you if your palate is similar to a particular reviewer. Here's a couple of guys who I respect in the industry. The first one is Cigar Coop. And he put out his number one cigar of the year. I was surprised to see this. Alec Bradley Fine and Rare. Now, I personally do not like it when a limited edition cigar reaches number one. That seems annoying. How are you ever going to find or get a hold of this very hard to find cigar?
Kind of like a Cuban getting number one.
Wait, I got to say, Cigar Coop is one of the guys who's pretty much unanimously respected within the cigar industry by manufacturers. Everybody loves Cigar Coop. So he would be a guy who I'd pay more attention to. And again, you can learn more about the type of stuff that he likes and the type of cigars that he likes by reading his blog or checking out his videos as well. He's got a YouTube channel. But then along the same lines of this individualistic, like I like this cigar, so I'm going to make a top list out of it and hopefully you like it too. That is Bob the Cigar Guy and his content creating buddy that called Chief. They put out their top 10 list. And here it is. We were just talking about this one. Foundation Cigar Highclere Castle Sénétaire. And that's how you pronounce it. S-E-N-E-T-J-E-R. Sénétaire. Sénétaire. And again, like you got to leave it up to Nick Melillo to put out a cigar. Okay. That has, that is impossible to pronounce, but is not a Spanish word. Like, and that's what all cigar makers seem to do. Like Plasencia puts out the Cosecha 149, you know, Azulejo. And then Espinosa puts out the Espinosa La Raña Azulejo, you know, and like these things are impossible to say. Foundation Cigars puts out the El Huehuense, the wise man, right?
It's just like how to say that word just because of Nick Melillo. Yeah.
Right. I know. It's like people are like, and then people are like, can I get the Gui Gui Swin Swee? You know, like you guys got any of those in here? Like people can't even say Oliva right. We should at least respect it and just come out with cigars called like the round brown thing. Like that round would be
brown thing.
You know what you should do, Tim?
You know what you should do
for the next American Viking release.
You gotta make
the
round
brown.
We want to see your beautiful face for the,
You know what you should do for your next Cigars Daily, or not, sorry, your next American Viking release, the round brown,
the round brown thing,
60 by 6, just full send it, man.
Or it's perfectly round like a ball, but
so Drew it's kind of like the DE egg, but
yeah,
no
Drew Stand already makes, there's no tip on it. There's no
it's
place.
It's the buzz ball of cigars.
You just have to hold it and start smoking it like you're smoking a soccer ball. You're just like, pick a place, use a cigar punch and light somewhere else, I guess. How's it going to burn? Doesn't matter. It costs $100 a stick.
It's no longer
a stick. Okay. Give me a comment, Billy, and we'll keep cruising with these lists because I got to get into the last type of list. I want to mention this tonight because this is the one important to me. Dalton Miller says, I don't really care about top 25s. If anything, I smoke cigars based on if I like the band or not.
Yes.
And sometimes, facts, if people recommend stuff. Okay, so does anybody else out there pick cigars the way your wife picks a football team? I just want to know. Like, Billy's raising his hand right now. Terrence, is that you?
So if I'm out in public, I'll bring a cigar that has some panache to it. So somebody's like, ooh, what are you smoking? Yep. But like if I'm at home, I'll smoke everything and anything. But if I'm out, I'm in a public setting.
Didn't know I liked Oliva, I would never pick their bands. They're just not cool bands.
I would pick Oliva. Up a CAO BX3 because it's super colorful and fun. And somebody's like, oh, that looks like an Xbox. I'm like, bro, it has three different types of Brazilian tobacco. You got to try this.
I'll agree with, and I'll agree with Billy. Oliva could do an update on the Serie O, Serie G, not the Serie V, which is class and looks really good, but they do have a good cohesive look. But yeah, I mean, it could be more a little flashier. And certainly certain brands like, you know, Foundation, they just nail presentation every time with this ultra classy, not overcomplicated. Like that's the thing the BX3 has. It looks like a tie-dye t-shirt took a dump on the band, right? Like it's very colorful and it jumps off the shelf at you, which is great. Like it makes the cigar stand out. And if you're going to create a new cigar today, you need that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to tell you guys about the last type of top 25 list. We talk about panel-driven lists, right? A bunch of hoity-toits try to tell you what you should be smoking. Or the individual-driven list. Some guy says, hey, these cigars are pretty good. Consider them. But this is my favorite one. It's the crowdsource list. The kind of thing that like you pull together from an audience. So typically somebody has a group, a following, or maybe a cigar collection or society they belong to. And those people together vote on the best cigars. One of those is my buddy, Eric Drazen, who runs the Oak Glen Tobacconist Cigar Society. Now, they're not a massive group. They have, I think, hundreds or thousands of followers in their group, not tens or hundreds of thousands, but still, that's a really good set of data to get what people are after. This year, they have picked the Oak Glen Tobacconist number one cigar of the year is the Chaffeeet Collection See No Evil Lonsdale, a cigar that if you're not in that, you know, society, you may not have heard of. And I'll say crowdsourced lists like this can be one of the drawbacks of them. Same with like individual composed lists. It, you may find some stuff on there that you've never even heard of before. So it might feel like you're taking a bit more of a chance to try that stuff out. At the same time, it's the way that I shop for things on Amazon. If I need a new pair of bath slippers, I go on Amazon, I type bath slippers, which now I'm going to get Facebook ads for bath slippers for the next 6 months because I said that. But nice. If I'm searching for bath slippers, I go on, type bath slippers, and I look for the one that has 30,000 five-star reviews. And those are most likely the ones that I'm going to get, right? Like I like that because crowdsource lists bring you into what a lot of people already think is very good. So for me, at least, it seems like there's a little bit of safety in that. But I want to hear from you guys before we hit the ultimate number one cigar of the year that is undisputed, hands down, the number one cigar, and you can't even argue with it. We'll talk about that one next. But Billy, get us a comment here.
Sorry, I was not 100% prepared right there. Do you want on list?
It's literally your only job. Billy's like, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do you want lists or do you want a...
Yeah, let's get some list comments.
List comments.
This one's from Johnny Hoover says, I don't bother with Cigar Aficionados list anymore. I stick with YouTube reviewers that have similar palettes. Cigar Hound Dog specifically.
I agree.
Cigar Hound Dog. Have you watched Cigar Hound Dog?
I have. He has good content. I like it.
Okay, good. Honest to God, I've been doing this stuff for 7 years now and I can't keep up with everybody that's making content anymore. Like literally someone stopped in the shop the other week that had a channel and asked if I would shout them out. And I was just like, no, like I don't do that. There's too many out there, but certainly like the benefit of having a lot of reviewers out there is that there's a lot of different people having the conversation about cigars and it makes it more likely that you'll find somebody who just is likes exactly the same type of stuff you like, which I think is a good thing. One more comment before the undisputed all-time best number one cigar. AG says, I think lists are only good if you want to impress someone.
Okay.
Oh, this was voted number one for 2022.
I think that's similar in lines with why you have those like $200, $300, $400 cigars, mm-hmm. is that you're just trying to impress somebody.
It's just for the, just so you can say it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you were in the social media era. How much time do we spend doing things just to impress other people without even caring? Like, not even caring about how much do I love this cigar. If you can look at someone and be like, yeah, it's a number one cigar. Like I can get it and you don't have it. So I'm in the know and you're not. Like there is a sense of that, I think. But at the end of the day, all of us are looking for those cigars we love. I think like the authenticity of cigar smoking is we all want something that's going to ignite our palate. I think it would be truly robbing yourself if you only smoke cigars that you could use to impress other people. Like to me, the most impressive thing is to find a cigar smoker who's smoking exactly what they like, whether that's a $2 cigar or a $20 cigar. And I think that would be the thing I would want to be going around doing. What are you smoking? Oh, it's exactly what I want. And you might not even like it.
Because they're just living their life, doing what they want.
They're doing their thing. And that brings us to the cigar, the one that is the undisputable champion. Now, before I bring this up, I'll tell you, there is one list that is the compilation of all lists, and that is Half Wheel's consensus list. So what they do, they take all the lists online, and they have a criteria for this. I think the list has to be like published somewhere, like in written form. Like I couldn't just rattle it off in a video and have it count toward the consensus list. It's got to be published somewhere online and I think followed to a certain degree. They've got a whole criteria, Half Wheel does. And they've got so many lists they consider. And then they take all those lists and they pick the 25 cigars that appear across the most. And there are like dozens of these lists they pick. And then they make a top 25 list out of that. So it's the list of lists. And I love that they do this. It's a brilliant idea. And every year, the number one cigar in the consensus list is the thing I pay attention to more than absolutely anything else. And this year, that cigar is the Saka Khan by Dunbarton. You know, this was a year where Dunbarton smashed top 25 lists again. I mean, it was the same way Oliva Nick got Salesman of the Year like 3 years in a row. Steve Saka is just crushing the list. And by the way, I don't know. I don't think any Dunbarton cigars have been on Cigar Aficionado's list that I can remember.
I'm not sure, but I might be incorrect on this, but you know how Saka is. He might have went to Aficionado and was like, don't review.
I think he said he did that. He was like, you don't talk about me, I won't talk about you.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Saka's a big imposing man. I wouldn't want to mess with him.
Well, I wouldn't mess with him just for what he knows. Yes. But yeah, the Saka Khan number one cigar. So he actually dominated the entire consensus list. I think he had four blends on the consensus list. If I remember right, there was a Muestra de Saka on there. There was the Mi Querida the Black. And shoot, I don't even remember what the other two were. Maybe the Sobre Mesa Brulé Blue?
I gotta look.
You have to pull it up to look at it. But that is, and again,
Paladin de Saka.
Paladin. And Paladin was
the
great.
Bewitched, which is the
Bewitched is a Muestra.
And then the Saka Khan, that's the Saka Khan, or the yep. Mi Querida the Black. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all that I see right here. So
there was one more on there. I know there was, but that's like for a cigar maker to be able to do that, not just get multiple positions on a top 25 list, but get multiple position on the list that considers everybody else's list. It's really, I mean, it's an impressive thing. And it's something that I think you guys will see continue as Steve Saka is persnickety about this stuff and somehow just makes cigars for his own palate that everybody seems to love. And if you guys want to find some amazing value in an incredible cigar that I think will be on top 25 list coming up in 2023, you got to know about the Attic series from West Tampa. You can get more out of this cigar and get more value on it to the tune of about 20% added value with the super secret code ATTIC20. And you can learn more about that on CigarsDailyPlus.com, where we're going to be going for the after party in just a minute here after we take one or two more comments.
Terrence, can you put that back up real fast?
What are we putting back up? Oh, yeah.
Is the super secret code supposed to be offset?
Like tilted?
Yeah.
So Billy has OCD. And yeah. There's a notion with graphic art that if you take a layer of text and you tilt it from, I don't know, I'm going to go left to right, going upward, that it creates a positive insinuation in people's mind, and it's a good thing, versus going downtrend, you want to go uptrend. So you tilt things to the right, and that way it doesn't look so sterile and uniform. If it looked sterile and uniform, Billy would be like working his pants and his crotch, but right now it makes him very uncomfortable. Super secret code is tilted on the graphic. No, I did that on purpose, Billy.
So there's an actual thing that says to put it off.
It's just some research that says that if you're going to try to communicate an idea, that it creates a good connection in people's minds.
No.
Billy's like, it doesn't.
Well, just type in ATTIC20 on Cigars Daily Plus.
Well, yeah.
You don't got to look at it. We'll just tell you.
Learn more about it there during the after party. We're going to take one more comment. Then we're going to go over there for the show, for the rest of the show. This one is from.
All right. We're going to play Choose Your Own Destiny.
Ooh. Choose that destiny.
Do you want what people are already predicting for 2023?
Okay.
Best cigar. Do you want to take another humidor question? Yeah. Or do you want to do a trendy cigar?
Ooh. I want predictions for next year. I want to see what people think is going to be at the top of the list. All right, go for it. This one is from Mr. Sharp. The undisputed champion is the Round Brown 2023. Excellent. And you're right. It is. which is going to be weird because the consensus list next week, it's not even going to be like a round cigar. It won't even be like a parade. It'll be like a box pressed Figurado that's like a weird shape or something like that. Okay.
It's going to be a 4-inch box press. Yeah.
Figurado. 4-inch by 72, you know, double perfecto thing. All right. Give me one more. So this one's from Vintage Honda.
Ooh.
Nice.
Nice.
Did you guys see that meme online that shows like a 1998 Honda Accord and it says what I think a, you know, a 20-year-old car looks like, and then it shows like a 2003 and it's like what it actually looks like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Pappy Van Winkle's bourbon barrel aged fermented tobacco cigars? Worth the money or just a gimmick? Well, I do know that they're not fermented in Pappy barrels, or or at least that's what I heard. Like, and so I believe that is a licensing thing for the name for Pappy, which kind of feels a little gimmicky. At the same time, I know a lot of people really love that cigar, and maybe it is because Pappy, it says Pappy on the band, and it's just like getting the number one cigar of the year. You're smoking with your buddies. They pay attention to, you know, the Cigars and Spirits top 25 list, and you got a Pappy cigar and they're like, oh, is that Pappy Van Winkle? Oh my gosh, that's incredible. And you're like, yeah, pretty good. But I do know the cigar is good, and you have to, like, to get that cigar even from Drew Estate, you have to reach a certain level of size as a cigar shop. So, you know, they do control and regulate that cigar. I think it's a good cigar. Whether or not it's gimmicky, you kind of got to decide that for yourself.
Personally, right. I believe the Buffalo Trace cigar is a little bit better than the Pappy. It edges it out just a bit.
There's a Maker's Mark one.
But that one's a little bit more infused. It's most of the time it comes in the glass tube with the wax on it and everything.
Yeah.
But as like a regular production cigar, I feel like the Buffalo Trace edges it out and worth it a little bit more to me.
I'm a big fan of Diesel's Whiskey Row because they use Rabbit Hole barrels for those. They even have a sherry cask one. I think they did an outstanding job. And that's another one where the goal of the barrel aging is actually giving it some more flavor and character versus barrel fermenting. Fermenting in a barrel is what Perdomo does. So Perdomo has a whole line of Habano bourbon barrel aged cigars that you can get that have actually been fermented. So you get an extra level of refinement, but you're not going to be finding any kind of like bourbon flavor in that leaf, as to where with something that's barrel aged, you might find a little bit of a hint of like that bourbony sweetness. So
okay. I think Diesel does the best job.
If I'm going to get a barrel aged cigar, it's typically going to be one of those Diesels. Okay. This show has to continue. It must go on, but it can't go on here on YouTube or Facebook anymore. We're going to continue this on Cigars Daily Plus. This is a free website that apparently is very hard to sign up for.
Where you basically exclusive club.
This is very exciting. This is
exclusive than the Facebook group.
Right. This is more like getting, you know, what's weird? Like people are like, the Facebook group is impossible to get into. I don't know how to use Cigars Daily Plus, and we still have the biggest online cigar community in the world somehow.
It's like Costco.
It's like, this is not convenient, but I'm going here because there's something I want. Well, thank you. Join us on Cigars Daily Plus. If there's a little bit of loading time, stick with it. You'll get on the show. Our servers do get busy during the after party, but again, we're working on that to correct it. And there will be this same show with less rules and less hearsay about what we can say. So join us there, guys, and make sure that you visit there to get that extra 20% value on West Tampa cigars in the new Attic series, which is just an absolutely outstanding blend. You won't regret trying the thing. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next Sunday, but don't miss the after party. See you guys in a minute. We're back and welcome to the after party. We can say all the stuff we couldn't say before. Drop your comments.
And a good old shit titty bitch.
Thank you, Terrence. Or you can drop your comments here. We cannot put them up on the screen here on Cigars Daily Plus, but Billy will be just reading them into the microphone as he finds the best ones.
I have one because I have the same question.
Oh, ooh, okay. Billy, a lot of the comments tonight, Billy's been like, I got the same question. This is good. This has been an educational episode for all of us. Go for it, Billy.
This is from F. Fonseca 7220. I feel like there's not that many people on here that you have to have such a like different name.
Yeah, like your username that you want is not taken.
Yeah,
I can pretty much guarantee it.
Tim, are you going to get more Stillwell Stars why 2022 cigars in July.
Yes.
Saw Sokka had an order open a while back.
So yes, Sokka came out with the Stillwell Star, that aromatic cigar that when you cut it, the dry draw tastes like a cow barn. I mean, it really is a manure. Yeah, it's really a manure like dry draw, but then you light it up and it tastes like Christmas morning. It's like one of the weirdest cigars I've ever had in my life. And I love it. I smoked one 2 days ago. It was my last one. So when I got the email from Dunbarton saying like, hey, get some of this, Cindy Sokka was like, hey, like low key, make sure you get plenty of this. I'll tell you this. I ordered as much as they would sell me. So that was the goal. So yes, I will have it. It will be coming out in July. One of my rules here that Jim and I agreed on very early on was that we won't sell anything we don't already have. And so that is going to be like in stock. And once it's in stock, you'll be able to buy it. That way we can ship it that day or the next morning and get it to you very quickly. And that will be coming in July. Yes. Along with a couple other special releases, like the Filthy Hooligan is going to come out. We might even have a whole episode as we get close to St. Patty's Day. Oh, it's going to be a good one. All right, Billy, next comment.
Espen Ty Hansen asks, hi, Tim. As an engineer, I'm looking forward to your explanation of relative humidity.
Excellent. This is specifically for an engineer. So feel free to explain this to anyone in a cigar lounge. Billy.
Yes.
You're familiar with the idea of RH, or relative humidity.
I am.
Can you define it for me?
I'm not an engineer. So it is the humidity that at that temperature, what it is.
That's actually not entirely correct.
Okay.
So you can send the camera back to me. Relative humidity is the humidity that accumulates on your crotch while you're banging your cousin.
Boom! Yes!
Listen, I want to give credit for that joke to Eli Sarge Vidal and Mike Rimmer and Brian West. We came up with that joke while we were drinking and smoking cigars at Oliva Nick's house the other week. These guys came to town and we had like a great time while they were here. And we had a very long, highly inappropriate conversation that resulted only in that joke, which I, by the way, cleaned up a lot, even for the after party. Please use that in your local cigar lounge. We'll give the credit to those guys for it. Relative humidity. Okay, there we go.
Wolfman 6x52. What does it truly mean if certain small cigar brands are not on top lists? Are on top list Oakland and Cigar Hound, but not carried in Cigars Daily?
Yeah, this is a great question. You know, a lot of people like assume Cigars Daily is like a big box shop. We're not. We're a family owned and operated cigar company. We have about 1,000 square foot of humidor space in here, which sounds like a lot. It's not a lot. We carry 1,000 different cigars, so quite a bit of stuff. But at the same time, right now we're in this craft beer era of cigars. So there's not just 1,000 cigars on the market. There's like 10,000. So we carry about 10% of what is made. Now, that being said, I don't carry everything in every size. We try to carry stuff in a Robusto and a Toro. But for that reason, you'll see me targeting the stuff that people are paying the most attention to. That's sort of how we go. And especially in the realm of social media, are you guys talking about it? Are you hashtagging? Do you follow the brand? When new brands come in here to pitch themselves to me and be like, hey, carry cigar, you know, bozos or whatever it is that they're pitching. I'll immediately, while they're sitting here in the office, I'll go on social media and look at how many followers and how much stuff they're getting. What kind of traction are they getting online? And I'll show it to them. I'll be like, here's how you compare to the other guys. And like the conversation is either, yeah, this makes really good sense, let's do something. Or like, I'm going to watch you keep growing. And if you can actually create a foothold in this industry, we'll work together. And then there's this whole segment of the cigar world where there's these brands that have new brands that have a hyper loyal following. And there's so many of them out there. Do you guys know that the average length of time a cigar brand lasts in the industry is about 18 months before they close their doors?
That's crazy to me.
We've
had a lot of boutique brands come through here that I've met, and I'm wondering if they've all shut down.
I've discontinued probably 20 or 30 different boutique brands, and some of them are not even around anymore. And, you know, so you've got this segment of the industry where a lot of this, and some of these guys make great cigars. And this, even if the cigar is good, they could still go out of business if they don't know what they're doing. And so, you know, you'll find especially smaller cigar shops that will get a hold of this stuff and they can push it. You know, Eric Drazen over at Oak Glen. He does a great job with the Oak Glen Tobacconist Cigar Society. Other than making it with a name that's not too long and hard to say, he's built a really cool community. They actually picked Liga Zebra and Dama Velada on their top list for last 2 years before this. So like they're like dialed into a lot of the boutique-y stuff, but for that reason, you're going to see a lot of stuff pop up on a list like that, that community really likes that you may never even have heard of before. And that's why I say like these community driven lists, these crowdsourced lists, like these people are oftentimes considering stuff that's a little more fringe. Like you kind of got to be in the know to even know what this stuff is, because it's a limited release or a really small company, or a limited release from a really small company, which means you haven't heard of it before ever. So I think that's probably why. And like truly here, we're just working on building the catalog to carry the stuff that really blows people away. And again, that like people want to try, like that's the goal. Okay. Go for it, Billy.
Nick Barto asks, yeah, like what happened to, and I might mispronounce this, Mombacho.
You did not mispronounce it. Sweet. That was perfect. I don't know. I think Mombacho is still making cigars. I think I saw on Half Wheel, they hired a new sales director. We can talk about this for a minute. Let's say you're going to create a cigar brand. There's a sort of a process you have to go through. It's a kind of a, this is very, very broad strokes, generic process, but let's say you want to start a cigar brand and it's going to be J. Smith Cigars, because he just dropped a comment talking to Rick. So J. Smith Cigars comes out. And Jay is like, I got a cigar brand. And so he gets maybe he's got enough money to come up with the packaging, the concept for the brand, the logo, a simple website. And then he's going to get maybe 5,000 cigars made for his first run. Then it is up to Jay to go around to cigar shops and convince them to carry his cigars. He's got to go do events there. And pretty much his first full year is going to be spent traveling from city to city, territory to territory, trying to get a little bit of shelf space in a few shops so that he begins his distribution. And he's going to do it by himself because he doesn't have any money to hire anybody. Then after 2 or 3 years, if he can maintain his footholds and not lose them, it's one of the big dangers of the brand owner going around. You go to a city, you open up 3 or 4 accounts, you go to the next city, and you spend so much time traveling, you don't get back to the first city for 6 months or a year, you're going to lose some of those accounts. So you've got to do a lot of work to stay in touch with those shops and encourage them to tell people about your cigars. You give them deals, you give them swag, whatever they're going to do to put your cigars near the front of their shop. Then at some point, If you've done a good job of getting a foothold and you've maintained that foothold and you're getting regular sales, you're going to need representation in the territory so that you can grow that territory more, hold onto the foot space you've already got, and like increase your overall sales. The problem is cigar reps are expensive to put on the road. Like you're going to pay these guys, then you're going to commission them. They're going to typically need some sort of vehicle. They're going to need somewhere to stay, and you have to give them samples to give out to these cigar shop owners so people can actually try the thing. You got to pay for the food. I mean, it's like, it's really expensive to put them out. Whatever you're paying these guys, like to be a rep for you, you're probably paying 2 or 3 times as much just to have them out on the road. And so that's a very hard bridge to cross for a lot of cigar makers, especially mentally. You see a lot of cigar makers get into it thinking they know exactly how this should go. So they do it their way. And then in year 4 or 5, 6 or 7, the brand owner is still on the road, perpetually going from territory to territory, trying to reclaim space that they've lost. And so like, it's really about making the right moves at the right times to grow your brand and get the damn thing going. That's not the only way to do it, but that's kind of the process I see people going through, where I see cigar makers getting stuck, or they launch and they try to put reps on the road right away. And there's just like, there's no way to make money doing that unless you got a guy who's doing that out of the kindness of his heart. And that guy might not be the best guy for the job. So there, I hope that explains it at least a little bit. That's the way that new brands kind of start. And one of the reasons it's so hard to do this. There's not a tremendously huge cost barrier to start a cigar brand, but you've got to be savvy and you've got to be entrepreneurially minded. And the number one mistake I see cigar makers making out there is that they don't utilize social media the way they should. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these guys come in and they're like, hey, we want to get, you know, our stuff into Cigars Daily. You've got a huge reach and a lot of people watch. And so like, you know, if you talk about our cigars, then by God, everyone will know about them. It'll be magical. And like, I have to come back to these guys and be like, yo, like if you want to do the work of building the brand, you got to know how to do that. And then I show them their Instagram. How come you only have 750 followers? And these guys will say to me like, oh, like I got to, yeah, I know. Yeah. Social media. I got to get on that. Right. Like I got to do that. And that is the moment that I know that the brand owner doesn't get it. The most powerful, most free resource, that the cost of it is just your time, and you can do it from anywhere. Go do an event at a cigar shop and then be posting on social media and sharing your story with people. The fact that they're not already doing that means that they've completely missed that segment of it. This is something that Steve Sacca, I have to say, does unbelievably well. Steve Sacca went from being somebody, a major player in the cigar industry that nobody knew who he was. He worked at JR Cigars. He was the president of Drew Estate for a long time, and nobody really knew who Steve Sacca was until he left Drew Estate, already a major player in the industry, launched Dunbarton, and then attacked social media with veracity. He did every damn podcast. He's been on this show like a half a dozen times. He's done every little guy and big guy's thing out there. He goes and does cigar shop visits on his own. They're incredible. And he has just crushed it. And because of that, now today, everybody who is savvy about cigars knows who Steve Sacca is, even if they don't like him or his cigars. Billy, what's collapsing behind the camera?
You said that he's gone out and done every guy's little and big thing out there.
All the little guys and big guys things.
I think he would own that. Yeah. Does anyone want to clip that out and put it online? Yeah, Steve Sacca has done every guy's thing.
Every guy's thing. Okay.
Solid pause there. Yeah, Rick Day says Steve Sacca is a social media savant while simultaneously hating it. I mean, he says he hates it, but I think he understands what needs to be done. Like, Steve Sacca is the guy who his approach to this stuff is all based on what he's looking to accomplish. Yeah. And that's another thing that I see missing from a lot of cigar makers and their goal. Like, a lot of them are like, I want to have a cigar brand, and that's as far as it gets. Steve Sacca is thinking, I want to have a crushing, dominating cigar brand 15 years from now. So everything he does today is like, what do I need to do today? What kind of brands do I need to create today? What kind of blends do I need to create now that are going to be more powerful 15 years from now than they are today?
I'm just going to say, number one on Half Wheel, he has number one and number three on the consensus. He's still, he's doing something right.
He's doing something right.
Not only is he a good blender, but he's also doing the right things with his blending as well.
There's a lot of guys in, and Michael Fiteau says, are you going to have Steve Sacca on this year? Yes, I believe he is scheduled for the show for the first week of April, where he'll physically be here.
Sweet.
So, and I think very grateful that we have Studio Set C now so that he doesn't have to sit next to me at this little table, which I don't think he likes. But he doesn't like anything that we do together, so that's not true. He loves me. Okay, what's the next comment there, Billy?
James the Blacksmith asks, Tim, did you ever get to try any of the cigars your buddy rolled from your in-house barrel-aged leaves?
Yes. He has not stopped bringing them to me, in fact. I have a lot of them. In fact, I posted a picture of one he calls it the Monica, and it's like a 9 inch by 100 ring gauge massive cigar with that tobacco in it. I haven't smoked it yet, but I've smoked it. And again, the cigars are good. You know, the barrel aged tobacco is aged well. It's not super diverse cigars, because what he essentially has is, you know, some really good barrel aged leaf that I gave him. And the rest of the tobacco he has access to, I think I pretty much know what that is. It's the same stuff that I got off wholeleaftobacco.com that, you know, Willie Herrera and Steve Sacca and any other cigar maker I can think of have all said the same thing about it. This stuff is rags. And so I kind of stopped getting that. And then Sacca sent me a bunch of tobacco, which I have hoarded somewhere in this building, just a bunch of Sacca's leaf.
Well, that's kind of
because cool. He does all the guys' things. So I keep a bunch of his leaf. Things. Yeah.
Do I have to smoke this one on video too?
Probably. Yeah. Okay. The Monica. Yeah. That will be it. Yeah.
All right. For sure.
That'll be Terrence's next video, smoking the Monica.
This one's from Dalton Miller. I've never really watched the lives, but I've been watching a lot of the older ones lately, and I'm hooked. I really like Oliva Nick, Robert Caldwell, and John Simon.
John Simon, I love. Robert Caldwell, I don't really know him outside of doing the show once or twice very well. He's such an eccentric guy, but I appreciate the fact that he has he's devoid of pretenses. Like, he's just going to say whatever he thinks.
Yeah.
I like that. And of course, Oliva Nick is Oliva Nick.
He's okay.
We love that. He's okay. He's just all right. All right. Give me one more of these.
Nathan asks, does Sacca have a CD Plus profile? It's the most important social media.
Ooh. I doubt very seriously that he does. I doubt that. I doubt he's got a thing on this website.
He's been on YouTube a few times. He's chatted in a couple times.
Let me see. My wife is calling me right now.
Uh-oh.
So what I'm going to do is live right now. what can I do for you?
I thought you were going to do a live,
like a live phone call,
like do a FaceTime.
Yeah.
She's probably asking me about like my dirty underwear or something. All right. I want to get a couple more comments here.
This is from William McQueen. What is the best Camacho cigar to start off on if you want to start getting into different cigar brands like Camacho?
I don't know. I got a sore spot with Camacho right now. I have a meeting with Camacho on Wednesday of this week. My rep for Davidoff is bringing in her boss or an influencer. She says, sorry, love. I'll talk to you in a little while. Okay. Now I've got to say something back. Okay. No worries.
Well, while Tim is doing that,
thanks for interrupting the show.
I can give a recommendation. I think their Corojo, which is the really big red label, is really good and solid. It's right there. It's a little fuller than most other stuff, but I think a lot of Camachos have a lot of body to them.
Well, hold on, I'm still bitching about Camacho. So before we can't start
recommending, talk nicely about
it. Redact all of that.
Well, with Camacho, your options now are relatively limited compared with 3 years ago.
Yeah,
3 years ago, I mean, there's still the Connecticut, the Corojo, the Ecuador, and the Triple Maduro. Connecticut is the orange band.
Yep.
Corojo is the red band.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Corojo a lot.
Yep.
Then the Ecuador is pretty good, medium body cigar.
That's my favorite one right there.
The Triple Maduro I'm actually going to be reviewing in February.
Good luck.
And then they've got a few others. They got the Factory Unleashed and Factory Unleashed 2, and those two are really damn good. But they used to have like the Nicaraguan barrel age, the American barrel age, those have been discontinued. They had a distillery edition, which was three different blends. Those have all been discontinued.
Wasn't there a stout barrel age?
There was a stout barrel age that they did with Cigar Dojo. That was an outstanding cigar. They don't make that one anymore. Like, it's really, it's like every time I sit down with my Camacho rep, I'm like, what are you doing to me? And she's like, I can't, like, I've no say in it. And that's true. But I, for some reason, Camacho's really taken their foot off the gas and even pushed the brakes a bit here. And so I'm going to remake the video on your complete guide to cigar wrapper leaves. But this time I'm going to do it with one brand. Camacho, there was a time when Camacho would have been a really good brand to do a lot of different type of wrapper leaves with. Mm-hmm. It's so much more limited now that probably that video will feature AJ Fernandez, who does make something with just about every leaf that there is. So I'm kind of, I'm jamming for that one. I'm really excited. What they don't have is what Nico Barato mentioned, is that they used to have a Candela too. Yes, they did. And they would release it every year right before St. Patty's Day. And we couldn't sell enough of those things here. Like, we could never keep them in stock. And then they were like, nah, we don't need that anymore. I'll say this about Camacho. What I get, the reason I get it is because Camacho is owned by Davidoff. And now Davidoff, who is distributed, I think, as much in the US as they are internationally, they've got to really work to supply the cigar smoking world. And if you've got a brand like, you know, Davidoff is like your Bentley or your Maserati, and Camacho is like Honda. Like, they're and their Maseratis sell more than their Hondas do. So I guess I would make that too. Go for it, Billy.
Humidor question. This is from Texas Patriot, who is either like a Texas Patriot living in like Antarctica. We're trying to figure this one out. Okay, guys.
Pretty cold, though.
Not this cold. Okay, guys. Display humidor without temp control. Bad idea. I want to display my higher end cigars environment, 45 degree or 45% humidity. Temps fluctuate between 70 degrees, which is Texas, and negative 78 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, I don't know what that's
Texas like. Doesn't Holy get that cold.
Shit. Now, hold on. It
so
sounds...
Texas Patriot, where are you living that it gets down to negative 78?
Well, this year in Texas, there was at least one week where it got real cold.
I just Googled it, and the coldest I found in Texas history is negative 23.
So he lives on a train. And that train goes around the world in the ice age, and he's eating bug bars.
Is he in the front or the back?
He's in the back.
Oh, he's okay. On the Polar Express. That's what he does.
Yeah. He's in the Uncanny Valley for graphic design. I would say it sounds like you're keeping your your thermoelectric humidor outdoors, which you shouldn't do. You know, it says in the manual for all those things, don't keep this in your garage. Don't keep it in a shed. Keep it inside your house. You want to keep it where the temperature is also sort of maintained by a, presumably it doesn't go to 70 degrees in your house and negative 78. And if it does, that's bad news, especially bad news for your cigars. Cause that, like, it's not that cold is really, really bad. I honestly don't. I mean, negative 78, that's pretty damn cold. And I don't know what that would do to your cigars because I live in Arizona. It got to, last week it was 35 degrees and we were all ready to die here. So
James the blacksmith is helping me out read tonight.
70 to 78 degrees.
Oh, you said the 70, hyphen.
The hyphen because it went down 70 to the next line.
70-78?
Yeah.
It was so we made up a mystical land where it was 100. It was like living
a magical
on the,
train.
It's like living on the surface of the moon. During the day it's 70 and at night it's negative 140 degrees. No. So 70 to 78 degrees. And did he say is not temperature controlled?
Not temperature controlled.
You got to try to put that thing in the place in your house where the temperature remains the most consistent. Some people have a closet that this works for. Some people, like, you don't want to keep it in the path of your air conditioning, like vent, so that it blows on it or anything like that. You want to keep it somewhere sort of out of the way. So just try to maintain temperature as well as you can. Like, I get, 70 to 78, that's a pretty big temperature jump. But even then, like, it depends on how long that temperature is jumping. If it's for a few hours at a time or a few days at a time, that won't be as bad as if it's, you know, 78 for a week and then 65 for a week, you know? So you got to kind of battle with that. It's one of the big drawbacks of humidors. Unless the temperature controls itself, it's going to sit at the temperature of the room that it's in. It just will. And so you have to do your best job to pick where you're going to put it. I know some people who have very inventive places to put them, but again, if you don't care, if displaying it is not the key priority to you, some people will put it under some other stuff because that will help maintain some temperature too. Like a folded pile of jeans will help maintain the temperature in your humidor, believe it or not.
So everyone's not going to do their laundry now and be like, Tim from Cigars Daily said I don't have to do my laundry.
I can't wear these 5 pairs of jeans. I have to just keep them right here. Yes, you need 5 pairs of jeans you'll never wear. All right, last comment. We got one more for the night. Make sure that you get 20% off West Tampa Cigars just for this live show. It's just for all of you who are watching. It'll go through, I think, Tuesday through the 31st. And you can click on that below this video. The West Tampa White Series, the Black Series, and the new Attic Series, which is one of my like go-to cigars. I keep going back to it and I keep smoking it, like along with the AJ Fernandez Dorado, the Room 101 13th Anniversary, when you could find it, in West Tampa, the Paladin de Saca, the Saca Con. Like, these are all cigars that I've been smoking a lot of lately. I do recommend this one, and you won't find West Tampa's Attic Series almost anywhere. I think they literally pulled boxes from the European distribution to fill my order. But you'll find it tonight, 20% off. That's the only time you're going to find a deal in West Tampa like that. So go ahead and shop it. Get some for yourself. I think you'll really, really like it. If I could recommend a cigar to you, it would be this one, especially if you like stronger stuff. All right, Billy, give me the last comment, please.
Espen Ty Hansen asks, hi, Tim. Maybe a stupid question.
No such thing.
But how are our Candela cigars getting its unique green color? Are they using green leaves or coloring?
Well, they are using green leaves. We are all using green leaves. The key, I'm trying to figure out when I can get back down to Nicaragua, because I have some questions I want to ask cigar makers down there and like go into the field, but somehow they lock in the chlorophyll, you know, and like, because the chlorophyll is what makes the leaf green. In the curing barns where you see all the tobacco hanging from the ceiling, that the literal purpose of a curing barn is to turn the leaf from green to brown as evenly as you can. All the cigar makers have the same goal. Every leaf they pick off a plant, they're trying to make wrapper grade leaf. Okay. Not all of it makes that. So some of that leaf becomes binder, some of it becomes filler, depending on how it's graded. But they want as much wrapper grade leaf as they can. And that curing process is very important. At some point, somebody figured out how to do this so that they could, you know, essentially prep the leaf, get it cured. And I don't know how the curing is different, but they still ferment it. They still sort it. They still age it. It goes through a similar process as the other leaf. It comes out green. And I don't know if something about it is frustrating for these companies to do, because not a lot of guys do Candelas. Like, I know I can probably think of like 6 companies that make a Candela cigar. It's just not altogether common, even though Candelas offer something really unique that I think people really like. Like, I love sinking my teeth into a cigar that's got some of that green tea. Even I just did the review on the Oscar Valdez 2012 Barber Pole, which had this like hickory note to it. The Barber Pole is green Candela mixed with a Mexican San Andreas wrapper. I mean, just a bumping cigar. The thing was really, really good. Anyway,
there's been a lot of, I've never seen this happen. There's a lot of outpouring in the comments right now talking about you going back down to Nicaragua. that people say if you don't take Billy and Terrence with you, they're not going to watch anyone. So you should probably just take.
All right, I'll probably just take you guys right along.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
Yeah, it was weird. We did that whole series on how cigars are made with the Plasencias. I've said this before, but I like in my mind, I was like, okay, 4 or 5 part series, how cigars are made. Here you go. Plasencias factories, some of the biggest and most prolific in the world. Boom. There you go. Internet, enjoy. And the first comments on those videos were, when are you going to do more factories? Go do the My Father factory. Go do the Perdomo factory. And I was just like, oh boy. So literally Jim and I talked the other day. We were like, what kind of damage could we do with 5 days in Nicaragua and 5 factories? Ooh. And could I do 2 videos each day at each factory and come back with 10 videos from 5 brands on how cigars are made?
You'll need a crew.
You need a whole crew for that.
Well, 2 guys.
I definitely would need more than my small single handheld camera that John Correa gave me.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I got 2 hands. Can hold a camera. You know, we'll get the 1990s camera for you.
News anchor camera. Yeah. We're following Tim running.
Like one that you could hide a Uzi in the case for it because it's so big. You're like running guns. Yep. Yeah, that'll be a smooth traveling for all of us. All right, last comment. Give me the last one. Chlorophyll, more like borophyll. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
One.
Necessary.
They should definitely go. It would be a big bro trip.
It would be a bro.
Austin gets it.
See, Steve Saka's doing every guy's thing. We got to go down there and see what we can do.
We can do all those guys' things.
All those guys' things.
All right, guys. I've blown our time for the episode tonight, but I want to encourage you again, check out West Tampa. This is a cigar that if I was making a top 25 list, it would be on. If I was making a top 5 list, this cigar would be on it, and you can get 20% off of it in all West Tampa cigars tonight. Use that code and check it out on Cigars Daily. And thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Stay tuned for another great episode next week. This is Tim and Billy and Umami Terrence, the
Slayer.
The Woody Slayer, Dipper of Tips.
Damn it. We got to get a better nickname for Terrence. And stay tuned for another great episode next week, guys. We're all signing off for Cigars Daily. See y'all next Sunday.
Bye-bye now.